Yeah, we're doing that here too.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
They're happening all over the place, huh?
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and spend a whole hour with you guys. We've got a really great show going on today, and we're not going to talk a lot about real estate today, as we usually split it up. We're going to talk more about value-based life and living, but it all ties in with real estate, since we all have to live somewhere, and it's all part of our life. And so important. I'm thrilled today because I get Randy Zachary with me and Randy Stroman, and we're going to dig in today. And for those of you that are listening to it in the future, this will fit in any time of life. That's one thing. You know, our markets change. The real estate goes up, down, stays the same. It's different in different areas. But values never change. Life principles never change. Growing never changes. So I'm really looking forward to today. Randy Stroman is going to join Randy and I to talk about the importance and benefits of living a value-based life. He's co-founder of The Stromans, a leadership and relationship coaching firm located in Dallas, Texas. As a values coach, Randy works with professionals and nonprofit leaders across the country and around the world, teaching them to identify and align with their core values and achieve breakthrough results. You know, nowadays we so much need coaches. I mean, athletes have coaches. Everybody has coaches. We do coaching. It's just, it really helps to keep us accountable because our world gets so busy and goes in so many directions. And if we focus and keep ourselves accountable and balanced, it works out a lot better. And they know that how to do this so well. His seminars, workshops, keynote presentations, and coaching sessions are tailored to align with the situation and need of each client. Randy lives in Dallas, Texas with his wife, Debbie, and has three grown children. And we're going to go into contact information more on the show. But without further ado, I'd like to welcome Randy Stroman and Randy Zachary.
I'm not sure which Randy was supposed to go first.
I know.
We all just talk.
Randy.
We just talk.
I'm excited to have Randy Stroman on as well. He's a fellow John Maxwell guy.
Oh, me too. Good. I didn't know that. Awesome.
Yeah. They're everywhere. And I know that, Natalie, you became part of the team as well, and recently in a year or so.
Last few years ago, we went with certified, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Randy Stroman is with us, and he's kind of this wide-ranging. If you look on his website, there's several ways you can choose in terms of courses or paths of coaching with him, because he's been a pastor and does coaching essentially for pastors and churches and then also in the business realm. This is one of those hours that's going to fly by. We need to warn everybody that Randy is right now, you're under what, a tornado watch there in Texas?
No, we're actually under a tornado warning. There is two tornadoes that are on the ground, but my wife is monitoring them, and they're not in our immediate vicinity. So we're in the county, but we're not directly in the path so far. So I think we're fine.
Mm. That's right. A warning means it's touched down. A watch
yes.
is just, hey, it may. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there's actually two areas that they are tracking right now. So, and we're kind of right in between both of them. So I think we're good.
Okay.
Good.
Well, we'll be kind of praying as we go along here that you guys are safe and everybody else is as well. And I kind of want to dive in because this hour is going to fly by, and the topic, I think, the importance and benefits of living a values-based life. Obviously, that gives us kind of a wide berth, and I'm famous for rabbit trails. So, Coach Randy, you can keep me focused here, along with Coach Natalie,
right,
and keep me focused on kind of where you want the conversation to go. But core values, a big deal, right? I mean, so many people kind of go through life and la da 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 da, and sad to say, even people of faith wander and meander through life without really identifying, like, all of their core values, right? They may say, well, yeah, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I go to church and all that. Sometimes that's about where it ends, and there's real value in digging deep in terms of figuring out what your core values are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reality is that every single person has a value system. Everybody possesses a value system, but there's few people who truly understand how that value system was arrived at and how it is driving their results. And so we all have a value system. We all value something, but we don't understand how that fits into our success and determines either success or failure. And coming into an understanding of your own core values and then living true to those core values, some very exciting things take place in your life.
Absolutely.
The light goes on. Yeah, the light goes on, and you realize, you know, that you can use those core values to kind of shape then big decisions that come along. So talk to us a little bit about, let's kind of first start in the business realm. When you go to a business, how do you approach this? So there's the core value idea, and I'm guessing you have a program, and I'm guessing there's some work that the people do. Do you work like just with managers, presidents, CEOs, or do you kind of also interface with employees in a business, say in a given business?
Yeah, great question. We won't work with an organization that we're not able to work at every level of the organization. I may coach an individual, or I may coach a C-level person, but I won't work with an organization unless they allow us to work at every level of the organization, because otherwise it's going to be ineffective. And most often when people come to me, and it's, you know, the you can plug in their current crisis, whatever it may be, but the bottom line is they're saying, I'm not getting results.
Right.
And what I always like to say to them is, you are getting results. You just don't like the results you're getting. And so if you understood what was driving those results, then you might be able to make some changes and adjustments in order to get the results you want. But don't be under the misunderstanding that you're not getting results, because you are getting results. No outcome is a result. Outcome, that is a result. And so let's do away with the notion that we're not getting results, and let's try to understand why you're getting the results you're getting. And then a lot of them will come to me and say, well, we just have a really unhealthy culture. We've got like a toxic environment that we're working in, and we don't know how to change culture. And they may be wise enough to know that culture drives results, but they don't know what drives their culture. And if you're going to speak to the culture of an organization, and this is true in any size organization, but the larger the organization gets, the more important this process becomes. And the way that you drive culture is to go all the way back to the beginning of that process. And that's to look at the values of the people that make up that organization, because there is a progression that takes place. Our values drive our thoughts. Our thoughts drive our actions. Our actions over time become habits. And our habits become our exposed character, and it is the character that makes up the culture of an organization, and it is that culture that drives the results. So if you want to change your outcome, you want to change the results, you have to go back to the very beginning of that process and address it at the core root of the problem, which is the values of the organization.
But each person's going to have, I agree with you, each person's going to have the separate values. So when you're going into an organization, have you actually taken them into groups or doing work ahead of time before you get there to have them fill out questionnaires? How do you try to get to the root of the values?
Yeah, and
you
raise
there
a great point.
There?
Yeah, you raise a great point in that, everybody's going to have different values, and one of the universal rules is that we can't tell somebody what their values should be.
Right.
You know, nobody wants to be told what to do, and it doesn't matter if you're paying me a paycheck. I want to do the job you want me to do, but I don't want to be told how I should think or feel or value. That's something that I want to retain ownership of. And so the challenge you have is you've got this melting pot of values, and you have to try to bring some kind of order to it. And so the way we start when we work with an organization is we actually start with interviews of all of the staff, one-on-one interviews, and that my sole purpose there is to connect with them and gain their trust and let them know that I've created a safe environment for them. And I go through a process that establishes that so that I build rapport and they know that it's confidential and what they share with me is not going to be shared with leadership or management. And I tell leadership and management up front that if I discover things that I know are damaging to your business, but it's shared in confidence, I will not and cannot share it with you. It will have to be discovered through the process, because if I violate that trust, this process won't work. And they have to buy into that up front. And
That's a good point.
Yeah, and so often we do. We gain their trust. We find out what's really going on. And then what I do is I use that information that I've gained to craft a carefully written employee survey that every single employee takes. Now, I already sort of know the answers that I'm going to get because of the interviews I've conducted, but this gives me data points that I can share with leadership to say, here's what's really happening in your organization. And once they get the data, I mean, I had one organization that I showed them through the data that if they continued to go in the direction they were going without changing anything, I could guarantee their business would be out of business in 3 to 5 years. And all of a sudden they're like, okay, how do we get better results?
How do you know, Randy?
Wow.
Nowadays, it's interesting because we have so many different communities, and people like to be a part of their own community. You know, the collective, whether you call it a clique or not a clique, and organizations have been around for a long time. And even us Christians, you know, say, hey, I like to hang around Christians, right? If somebody's really Christian, it's kind of like, and nowadays with the social networking, and we're getting these big divides, we're getting so many things going on that are not pretty, because people are not agreeing to disagree. They're not accepting other people's values, other people's opinions. Do you think it makes sense in organizations to say, hey, we're going to set kind of like a constitution, we're going to set our guidelines and everybody must follow this? Or do you think it makes sense to blend that everybody's way personality in, and then still have, you know, of course, rules and regulations? Do you think that there's a way to make it more harmonious with accepting that everybody is individual? Or,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I would imagine,
I mean,
on the corporate side, yeah.
Yeah, I yeah. mean, you raise a great point. And let's use Washington, D.C. as an example, because I don't think there's any place on the face of the earth that is more divided. And you know, I mean, and it's gridlock as a result of it.
It is.
And so, you know, I'm not a politician, thank God. But my recommendation in a situation like that, because if you can do it in that kind of an environment, you can do it anywhere, is by identifying their values, by truly identifying both sides. I guess now these days you could say there's multiple sides, because we're really no longer a two-party system. But let's just say that you get all the players involved and you identify what their core values are. And we would do this in an organization as well. And then we go through an exercise if we do a whole group coaching session where we'll put everybody's values, and they don't necessarily know whose values are which, but we put everybody's discovered values up on a big, massive whiteboard. And then we start going through and talking about how, you know, everybody values something differently than someone else, but there are commonalities. And
right.
We've done an exercise in a room as many as 500 people, and they go through this values exercise, and at the end, there may be only 2 to 3 people out of 500 that pick the same top 3 core values. And that
really?
Is an eye-opener to people.
You're kidding.
Because then they realize that we really, truly are diverse. We really, truly are unique. And if we don't learn how to value the values of someone else, then we're going to be very ineffective at communicating with them, at getting their cooperation, at getting any kind of you know, progress made in the organization. So then, at that point, what we do is everybody gets 3 votes. And they come up one by one, and they each select 3 of those values listed on that board. And then what we end up with is the 3 core values that have been chosen as that organization. But we still honor and celebrate the 3 individual core values of each person that helped to build that list. Now,
okay,
what
I'm going
to
do,
is,
okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I got it. I'll ask my question after.
Okay, so what that does is that allows us to find common ground. And so I know that you see things differently than me. I know that this person sees differently than that person. But we found a common set of values. And so go back to Washington, D.C., and in a toxic environment like that, the recommendation I would have is let's find out what they do agree on. And let's focus 100%
right.
of our attention on the areas we do agree and watch progress go and watch trust increase, and then from there we can slowly begin to expand to those areas where we are very diverse.
That reminds me how President Reagan did with Gorbachev. He was getting nowhere, and then he turned around and says, okay, and comes around with a big smile and says, let's start over, and shakes his hand. And it just reminds me of getting that you know, somehow, because even though we're all so diverse, there's still universal principles that if we, that's a great way to do it, to get us on the same page. So do you mind if I play school here, not to play school totally, but say, hey, tell us, like, what are, like, we're sitting in the room and we're part of the organization, you're going to put these list of values up for us, and can you give us a couple values that they'd pick from?
Oh, it might be the value
examples.
Of listening. It might be the value of hard work. It might be the value of, you know, conflict resolution. It could be the value of hope. It might, for some, be the value of faith. I mean, there's going to be a very diverse list. We provide mm-hmm. them in this exercise with nearly 200 values that they can choose from.
Wow.
And then they're free reign. They can choose any of those that they want. We take them through a process of elimination to get them down to what is truly their core values. But that's just how diverse that the possibility is. But here's
really?
The thing: the quality of your business and personal life will never surpass your values. Never.
Really?
That's true as an organization. It's true as an individual. The quality of your business and personal life will never surpass your values. You're going to live those values consciously or subconsciously, and until you become aware of those and be true to those, things just aren't going to go well. You brought up Ronald Reagan, and he's a great example. If you go back and watch Ronald, I mean, people, let's take the politics out of it. You may agree with him or
right.
disagree with him. That's not my intended point today.
Right. I loved him, but yes.
But if you go back and look at his first political speech and then fast forward to his departure speech after he had served 2 terms as president, the speeches are nearly identical. He was
really?
Never changed by his political experience. He stayed true to his values, stayed true to his core, and that is one of the reasons why even his enemies respected him.
But that makes some sense. But the values, when you had said that sometimes we'll find out of 500 people what they only have three or they don't have, they don't even all have the same three, is what you were saying.
They'll be that diverse, even in a group of 500 people. And we've done it a number of times, and it's rare to have, people that will pick the same three values.
Amazing. Because I think the values and the principles, I can see what you mean about we do live with what we're comfortable with, what we believe in, what we agree with, what it is. But then something like listening and some of the other, I would think, would be more just out of respect that people would do certain. I would have never thought of listening as a value to me. I don't know.
And I would imagine that is likely because you value listening.
I do, but I would not have. Yeah. Well, Randy, I know I talk so much. Randy's laughing back there. Okay, I don't listen enough. I wouldn't have thought that as a value. I think of values as, I don't know, maybe traditions and honesty, integrity, hard work. So I see what you're saying. I see. That's very, very interesting.
And see, the thing that seldom people realize is that values, I don't know if you're familiar with an old-fashioned level, prior to the days of the bubble level like all of us have seen.
Oh, yes, the old-fashioned, yes.
They used a plumb bob.
Yes.
And it was on a long string. And they would tie it up at the top of a top plate, and then they had a weighted metal point that looks like a torpedo.
And they flick it, yeah.
Well, they'd actually just let it drop down, and gravity would cause it to go perfectly plumb. And then they could mark the bottom, and then that's where they would put their studs, and they knew that their studs were going to be perfectly straight, because if the studs are straight and plumb, then you have a strong wall. If those studs are tilted even a little bit, then the wall is weaker and it could actually collapse. And so you want that wall to be perfectly plumb. And that's how they did it before bubble levels and laser levels and all of that.
Right.
But here's the thing. Values work the same way. When we align our lives with our values, there are benefits. Just like in that stud wall, there are benefits when that stud is perfectly plumb, perfectly up and down. There are benefits that come. The wall is stronger. It stays in place. You don't have it falling in on you. There are benefits. And so is it with values in our lives. And when we have the value of listening, there are benefits that will come to us because, first of all, people will want to trust us because they know we're going to be a good listener. People are going to confide in us because they know that we're valuing them and putting attention to them. We're going to learn things that we would never learn if we were not a good listener. So the point is there are benefits. But see, we can deviate from those values. And when we do, there are consequences. And let's take the value of hard work, for example. We can all see how a negative deviation is somebody who is demonstrating laziness and they're really stealing time from their employer. They're doing just enough. But we seldom realize that the opposite is just as damaging, and that's where we are in a positive deviation, and now we're overworking and we're out of balance in our life and personal, professional and personal life. And it's get the job done at all costs. That's just as damaging, although the results are different, it's just as damaging to the person. So what we want to do is come into alignment. And when we come into alignment, then amazing things happen. We change everything. Creativity flourishes. Momentum increases. And people begin to work together. And all of a sudden now you have put that whole progression in, into place to where habits and character and culture are driving better results.
I never thought there were this many I mean, I get it, about a few vows. That's amazing. Can we do you license your material, or can we buy your book?
Well, I have several programs available, yes, and we work with as Randy pointed out, we work with businesses, and we also work with nonprofits. We work with businesses because it pays the bills. We work with churches because that's where our heart and passion is.
Sure,
and,
it makes total sense.
Yeah, and if there is ever a world that needed help, it's the churches, because a lot of pastors are very good at the spiritual side of what they do, but they're not always real good at the leadership side of what they do. And so we love to come in and come alongside those pastors and show them some simple techniques that they can put into place to help gain that momentum in their church and help them, you know, grow and flourish and fulfill the calling that's on their life. So that's our passion, but, you know, we love working with businesses as well.
Sure. That's fantastic.
Wow, and I imagine your background, right, and your work as a pastor and with pastors, you find yourself probably, when you sit down with a, you know, an employee at a business, and, you know, no doubt kind of the Jesus, when you talk about a safe place, you know, I think what people are experiencing as you're even saying that is, you know, is Christ in you kind of thing. And talk about, because I'm kind of curious as you talk and explain what you do at a business. Depends on the business, I guess, and how much you could integrate your faith verbally. But how do you kind of walk that tight wire a little bit? You know, there might be some people that are anti-faith and would bristle at you bringing up things like that. But I guess the results speak for themselves, right?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If I go into a business, I am going to read the environment and the culture and understand the values of the organization. And if an overwhelming majority of the people in that organization are people of faith, then I have a liberty to share my faith, which is one of my values.
Yeah, okay.
If I go into an environment that doesn't value that, then I have to respect their values, and I have to come in and you know, hold back on my own values. Now, I don't compromise my values. I'm not going to do something that is contrary to my faith. I'm not going to do something contrary to my own value system, but I don't have to put it out there, and I don't have to put it in their face if that's not, you know, the type of business that we're working with. So we've worked very successfully with, you know, very much secular businesses. We've actually done some work with prisons. We've done some work with schools. We have a youth education program that we work with that teaches values to middle school and high school. And it's really the same process.
Oh, that's great.
To a different mindset. So it's really that process of reinforcing those values. And the reason that we are so focused on reinforcing values is because values leak over time. If we don't reinforce our own core values, then over time those values begin to leak. And faith is a great example of that. If you're a person of faith and you believe in the Bible and you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, if you stop going to church, stop reading your Bible, stop praying, it is a matter of time before that value is no longer representative in your life.
It's not as important, maybe. It's kind of maybe they've
other things take the place of it. And so you still have values, you just no longer have that as one of your core values.
And when you people wrote it, pick three core values, right? Is it basically that, I mean, because I imagine you could do this. We do coaching with real estate, and part of it is part of what we're doing with our membership, too, is teaching people to live the life they love, right?
Yeah.
Which comes from, you know, living the desires of your heart, not improperly, I don't mean that, you know, but I mean to be happy, you know, so we all have different talents and strengths. And so you could actually do that in families and communities anywhere, right? What you're doing, it works across the board because we're all human.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
one of the things that my wife and I love to do is we do a lot of what we call couples coaching. We're not counselors, we're not psychologists, but what we do apply the rules and techniques of coaching to the marriage relationship. And it is not something that we pursued. It's something that found us. We have a great relationship. We live a very much a values-based marriage, and we're true to those values, and we live by those principles. And I think as a result of that, it's attracted a few people to us to want to understand how we live the life we live. And then one tells another, and another tells another, and before you know it, we have people coming to us asking if we will do couples coaching with them. And it is absolutely something we've never marketed, we have never promoted.
Wow.
And it's sort of just come to us.
I bet it could be, you know, I mean, so wonderful because we have so much, I mean, it just getting along, so many people tend to not say anything because they're afraid they're going to rock the boat when they need to also be very who they are, whom they are. You know, they need to, interesting. That's, I've never looked at I guess the values almost is like, you know, you've got the thermometer in the relationship, thermometer in the room, right? Based on some people are going to just get along to kind of fit in, but then they're not really doing what is really part of what they can. So how do you, just a question that, like, I'd love to see the whole list. I would just love to see this 200 list of value, different values. No, I just would, because you know how my brain thinks, Randy, and I just love to see it because some of the things I'm going to think, wow, I didn't look at that as a value. I just think that's the way everybody should be. You know, I mean, things like different things that are just part of common courtesy, I should say. So I would just, it would just be interesting to say, wow, so it's almost like, it's not like Enneagrams and assessment tests and things like it a little bit, but kind of different, right? Because
I'm a big fan of personal surveys. We actually are proprietors of the DISC methodology.
Oh, I love the DISC. We use
DISC
too. Yeah.
Yeah, and so we teach DISC. In fact, that is part of the exercises that I take teams through. I do a group DISC session, and I take them through a series of questions, and they all get to make their own choices. And then at the end, I ask two control questions that I know because I've already studied the values of the organization and I know how they're going to answer. And I ask two control questions and I end up with everybody in the same box.
Wow.
Whereas they've been all over the board and they've been able to make their own choices, I ask two simple control questions and they all find themselves standing in the same place. And they look around and they're amazed. And I asked them the question, how do you think that was, how did I do that? And they looked puzzled, and I said, it's because I understood what you valued, and I was able to work with you and honor your values while getting you, and this is all based on what President Eisenhower said. He said that leadership is getting others to do what you want because they want to do it.
Oh, can you teach us that? because we need the big delegating, right? Randy, deep delegate. That is good because so you get them to do what you want because they believe in it.
Because they want to do it. And there's no way you can do that without intimidation unless you understand their values and you can work with them from their values.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some of the other values you were talking about the list, I mean, creativity is a value. Productivity is a value. Planning. There are people that are, you know, our high C personality people, our high D personality people, they're planners. But that's actually a value. Yeah, me too. And, what about criticism? Can you guys hear the lightning?
Yes, I did. We have storms here, too. I guess it's coast to coast here. Yeah, let us know if you have to go.
We're good right now. But
criticism.
So so if you follow good criticism, in other words, you know how to phrase it, you've got to speak the truth. You know, we need to speak the truth, but we need to do it in love. The truth by itself is a sharp knife that cuts. But when we speak the truth in love, it actually separates us from untruth. And so we shouldn't avoid that cutting process. We just need to know how to do surgery.
That makes sense.
And so the value of criticism is something that's, you know, really valuable.
It's difficult because, there, I mean, in companies and organizations and, you know, hey, everybody has to get along or you have a kind of like the military with the hierarchy. And I'm not big on hierarchy. I understand why it exists, you know, for certain – I mean, because there have to be leaders and other different people to do what they do. But it's difficult because, I don't know, it seems – like it's so important for you, I, Randy, everybody to shine as who you are, right? Not to squash your true excellence, your true brilliance. And some of that would get on some people's nerves and other people, you know, because we're all different. And I just wonder how that can be incorporated into does it mean that you have to pretty much have most people with the same values? Because it seems like we could have a blend and everybody can still get along.
Want to encourage diversity in values. Because if everyone has the same value system, then one of us isn't necessary.
Right.
You know, we just like the DISC, you know, we talk about DISC, we need all four types represented in our organization. And yes, the I's are absolutely going to drive the C's crazy, and the D's are going to hurt the feelings of the S's. It's going to happen. But when we have a value system that we all agree to and operate within, now everyone contributes their best to the organization. And the D, you know, is not going to leave everybody behind because they're going to go there whether you follow them or not. The I is going to put their feet back on the ground and, you know, bring that creativity back to where others can be a part of it. And the C's are going to make sure that we're doing what needs to be done and following, you know, practically in a business setting, somebody's got to make sure we're following the law. Somebody's got to make sure we're following, you know, the good accounting practices. The I's aren't going to do it. The S's aren't going to do it.
Mm-mm.
So we need everybody.
Yeah,
and I encourage organizations to hire diversity, but then you need a process to plug that into a system that's going to actually allow everyone to be true to themselves and contribute the best that they have to offer. And that's an organization that can move. And it's like Jim Collins said in Good to Great, you know, it isn't enough just to get the right people on the bus. You got to get the right people in the right seats on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then when everybody works from a position of strength, then you are a powerful organization to work from.
Wow. Again, anybody might be tuning in, we're talking to Randy Stroman, and he's a business consultant, coach, nonprofit coach, values and leadership. And, man, I'm telling you, this is flying by. We knew it would. Randy, you have a couple of websites. What's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
The best way would be through my coaching website, which is randystroman.com. That's RandyStroman, randystroman.com. And there's a information there. It talks a little bit more about this. And then the best thing to do is to reach out to us, contact us, and we'll set up an initial consultation. Depending on the type of the organization, we'll determine the type of approach we would take. But we've worked with a diverse types of groups, both in the faith community and in the business community.
Fantastic.
Wow. So much. I mean, again, just I've been taking notes like crazy. Just the quotes, man, have been awesome. They've been amazing. And that Eisenhower quote is so true, and you can say that about Reagan as well, right? Great leaders get people to do things the leader wants them to do because they want to do it, because they buy in to who you are as a leader, right? I mean,
and
that's what it is.
Yeah, and good customer service really is listening to your clients and customers. And on the real estate side, for our agents and brokers that are listening and will listen, it that's part of when you're selling, buy, you know, it could be commercial, residential, whatever. You're getting taking care of the client's needs, but you're listening to kind of decipher and figure out what they really do want, because many times they don't always know exactly what they want, right? Because part of all this is leading and then kind of opening up and bringing things out. And I've seen it happen in real estate for years, and we always try to keep the biggest thing in negotiating is trying to keep a win-win situation, you know, give a little here, give a little there, but to get everybody to be happy, you know, when they fight with the end result, because not everyone is always going to be happy. And, it's interesting. But
I take a slightly different approach in that situation, in that I'm not just one of my beliefs is that I don't believe in compromise. To me, compromise is an acronym for canceling out my promise.
Really?
Somewhere in there is a promise, and somewhere is I do believe in the existence of absolute truth. And so what I want to do is encourage people to find the truth. And I understand that we will interpret that truth differently. And this is not necessarily a faith statement. For me, it is, but it's not necessarily a faith statement. But there is a truth in every situation, and that if we can come into alignment with that truth, then we both can benefit from that truth. So you talk about realtors, you know, the value of understanding people. I mean, my goodness,
it's so
a realtor
huge. It's
has
huge.
To
it's
have
huge.
That.
It's huge. But there has to be some compromise. Well, there
what
has
about
to be. The thing is, well, when you're really good at negotiating deals, and I've done it for years and years, it's like, no, in the beginning, nobody wants to compromise. They all want what they want. But by the time it's over, there's a little bit of give and take on each side, you know, to make the deal work. Maybe they're not compromising their values. They're not compromising there's certain items that would be, hey, this is a no go. You know, this will not. This I'm not compromising on these issues. But they'll compromise on something little, you know. So that's
kind
of a
difference.
And see,
I would propose to you in that situation that was not really a value of theirs, because if it was truly a core value, they would not be willing to let it go. And
I agree. Is
the reason why I don't believe in compromise. I think what needs to happen is they need to clearly identify their values and understand what it is that they really want, and then that's what they stay focused on.
I agree with you. I agree with you totally. But I guess some of the negotiating items can be small items, you know, that really aren't that important to them. But maybe they're important to the seller but not the buyer, or once you see where their values are, which in each person, what's really more important, and then say, hey, wait a minute, you know, that's been in their family for 200 years. You know, they're not going they're not going to budge on that, right? Or, just different things that way, and then throw this in or throw that in, and then people start coming into, because I see it with President Trump. Look what he does with, I won't go into a whole bunch of that, but with taking it all, you know, and then slowly giving a little bit back. But it's difficult to keep everybody happy. You know, it's somebody's going to be, because you're dealing with a lot of emotions at the same time.
Yeah.
So,
well, Abraham Lincoln said it's impossible to keep everybody happy all the time.
True. Absolutely. Yeah. But our world is growing and growing. It's amazing. It's a lot of work.
Abraham Lincoln, man, are you kidding me? I mean, I just watched that movie again, the Lincoln movie, and just
I love
just what he went through. Talk about leadership and a glimpse into, I mean, a leader who, to your quote, right, of Eisenhower, getting people to do what you want them to do in slavery, and he, you know, the battle he went through for that, the self. You know, the self-questioning and the, you know, just the all of it. And then in the end, to get enough people and enough key leaders in Congress, right, and his cabinet to buy in, albeit for maybe not even the best reasons, purest motives on their end, But
well, and it shows the value of patience, because Lincoln succeeded in getting the 13th Amendment passed, but let's be honest, it took over 100 years for the effects of that to really start to be felt. I mean, there was immediate improvements that started to be made, but it took over 100 years for that to really take its course. And so talk about the value of patience.
Mm-hmm.
If Lincoln had not succeeded, what if the 13th Amendment had not been the 13th Amendment? What if it was actually the 14th Amendment instead of the 13th? And it didn't happen. And whatever was, I'm showing some ignorance here. I don't remember what the 14th Amendment is. Do you know, Randy?
No.
Let's say that we skip the 13th Amendment. How many years would it have been before we started to see meaningful change?
Yeah.
And so leaders have to recognize the time frame in which they're in. And Lincoln absolutely had a sense of timing, and he knew that he had to pass that before the end of the war. He knew that if he didn't, then it would just be brushed aside. The war is over. We won. We don't need this amendment. And he knew in that sense of timing that time was critical. And that's something that sometimes, it takes a special leader to recognize the timing, and it's very intuitive. But I believe he recognized it because of his value system.
14th Amendment says it's the all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to jurisdiction are citizens.
Yeah.
So if we skipped over 100%.
The 13th and went right to the 14th, how many years, if it took 100 years for the 13th Amendment to truly start to be realized in this country, how long would it have taken if we had skipped over it?
You're right.
Yeah, the other thing,
and you're right, it did take 100 years. I mean, 100 years for it to be accepted, really, more so.
Yeah. And in some circles today, I mean, it's sad to say, I mean, I had a gentleman who worked for me a few years ago, African-American gentleman, and he came into my office one day, and he looked a little bit shaken, and I said, "What's up?" And he said, I just got off the phone with a customer. And he was in the state of Texas. I won't say which part of Texas, but he was in the state of Texas. And he said, "I got the order." And I said, "Well, then why are you looking so forlorn?" And he said, "Well, he told me, he said, the customer said, I understand that you're really good at what you do, and I'm going to buy from you, but I just have to be honest with you. You can never come to my office, and you can never meet with me personally."
Oh, that's terrible.
Whoa.
And he said, "Why is that?" And he said, "Well, I understand that you're black." And
that's terrible.
He said, "Yes, sir, all my life."
Oh, that's terrible.
I just looked at that and I thought, this kind of stuff just isn't supposed to exist anymore, but it does.
Yeah.
And so that's why values are so important. And in an organization, you need to uncover stuff like that, and then you need to shed light on it. And if people aren't willing to come into alignment with the rest of the organization, then they're probably not going to make the journey.
Sure.
But those are the tough ones, and that's where the value of transparency comes in, and that's where the value of confrontation would come in, and the value of boundaries. We're going to set a boundary around certain issues and certain things, and we're simply not going to allow those things because it's contrary to the values of this organization. And so what I love to do is sit down with HR directors and show them how they can take and transform how they manage people and go from having performance-based conversations, which is what's so common today, to values-based conversations. So when someone has a performance issue, don't sit down and tell them everything they did wrong, because all that does is put them under the pile. It doesn't motivate them. They put them on a performance improvement plan, and most of those people never make the trip. And so what I like to do is tell them to sit down and have a values-based conversation and tell them which values are being violated, show them how to come into alignment with that value, and show them the benefits of coming into alignment with that value and the steps to follow to do it. And now all of a sudden it's a positive, encouraging conversation versus a negative one. And it totally transforms the way that we manage our people.
It's fantastic, yeah.
Wow. Dude, you need your own TV show, man. I've seen that show, The Prophet, on CNBC, where the guy goes into, Marcus Lemonis goes into businesses, and newsflash, most small to medium-sized businesses, and probably even large businesses, are dysfunctional because it's human beings, right?
Exactly.
So,
yeah, it makes you want to retire. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it just means that we need better techniques, that the techniques that we've been using for years are flawed, and we need a different approach. You know, you could go back to after World War II. Edwards Deming was trying to get American businessmen during World War II to follow his process improvement standards and his theories of management and improvement. And he was just flatly rejected. Well, after the war, the government needed to reconstruct and rebuild Japan, and they heard about Deming, and they invited him to come, and he supported that rebuilding process, and he instituted his processes and policies, and he, in my opinion, almost single-handedly created the Japanese Industrial Revolution after World War II, and so that now America has been playing catch up with that process of improvement ever since. And, you know, you've probably heard of the Toyota Way, and you've probably heard of, you know, people doing maybe a Kaizen or something similar to that. All of that has its origins in Edwards Deming. And so here's a guy who was speaking the truth, and nobody wanted to listen to him until it worked somewhere else, and now everybody wants to get on the bandwagon. Well, that's just what we need to do here. We just need to let people know that there's a better way to do business. And it's a people smart way to do business, and when you follow it and come into alignment with it, there's going to be great benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Randy Stroman with us, and again, randystroman.com, the website to contact him if you're a business and or a nonprofit or a church. We didn't even get into the church side of stuff, but I'm sure the principles are again pretty much the same in terms of, you know, finding out what the values are, and we know kind of the surface values at a church, supposedly, but you've got to dig deep. And
yeah, the approach is slightly different depending on the church government. If depending on their denomination or non-denomination or what their structure, you know, as I jokingly say, is if, you know, if it's a pastor-led congregation or a deacon-possessed congregation, you will take different approaches, but the principles are still going to be the same.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and isn't it funny how the Word of God says things so simply but so powerfully? Speaking the truth in love. It's pretty much what you're doing on all those fronts, right? You're speaking the truth in love. You're bringing light to darkness in organizations, and you're bringing truth. But like you said, truth can be a cutting thing, a painful thing. But if you do it in a love where you've built that relationship with that, you know, interview at the beginning, and they get who you are, you know. And I guess the challenge for you is, you know, you may create a super safe place in some of these businesses, and you end up probably counseling a lot of these folks, it seems like. I could see that.
Yeah, it has happened. And again, it depends on the organization. In some organizations, we have great liberty to share our own core values, and in others, we don't. We have to respect the environment that we're in. But we absolutely have seen how organizations that embrace a values-based lifestyle, it does transform how they view life outside of work as well.
Mm.
That makes sense.
Wow,
makes
sense. We're out of
growing
time, man. This flew by. Yeah, we kept you a little bit over, but I appreciate you hanging out a little longer.
Will you ever do any training? Randy, will you ever do any trainings like by Zoom or webinar? We do a lot virtually, and I'd love to have you talk to the group at some point or one of our groups. Have you ever considered that, or does everything have to be in person?
No, we actually do coaching with clients all around the world, and we use Zoom to connect with people.
Okay. Yay! I'm glad, because I'm the virtual queen, right? It's like these meetings. We've had meetings for years and years and years, but we really try to stay away from the input.
It's a great platform, and it saves time.
Wonderful. Great.
Did we just do a commercial for Zoom? I'm not sure. I think we might have.
I think we did.
Zoom is actually good on recording this. I think we did.
Wow.
Skype is, Zoom is working well. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate your time, and stay safe in Dallas.
Thank you. I appreciate having the opportunity to share my heart, and I look forward to connecting with you guys again.
Love it.
Thanks,
this
Randy.
Been great. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
And,
take care, man. Randy Stroman. RandyStroman.com. Once again, we just wanted to get you the website if you want to connect with him. I'm fired up. I don't know about you, Natalie, but
Well, I want to get the 200 list of them. I want to see all those different values.
I know.
Because some of the things I think of, I don't think of as a value. I think of it as being respectful, but then I guess that would be like my value, right? To be respect.
Yeah.
A value that someone else may not think is important that I do would show that that's my value. And I would just think it's just customary, right? So, I think it's great. I'd love to get him on some of the workshops because this is good stuff, as you always say, good stuff. It's, when it comes to real estate agents, brokers, we can't always be the good guy, can we? We try to be the good guy, and we're negotiating.
Yeah.
But maybe we're the one in between that's getting hit because we have to keep the peace and everything. Because I've always been really good at negotiating, and we do have to kind of, there are non-negotiable items, but we do have to get people to kind of open up, still be in that mood, so I should speak, energy level where they're not shutting down. Because once somebody shuts down, it's very hard to get through to them again, And so we as agents and brokers have a lot of psychology that we have to learn and use and respect and mirror and everything. So I find it really interesting. It's an interesting world we're in. But to grow, for people to grow, that's the fun part about life, right? To grow. Because we're always learning something new, I love it. So,
I love what he talked about the HR when you talk to HR people at a business, to have the conversation around values, as well as performance, because values drive performance. Hello.
Exactly. No, it really does. Good. And I love the DISC test. It's really a good test. It's a lot of work, but worth it.
Good stuff.
So we are there for today, and we didn't talk about real estate, but we talk about people and lives, I want to talk to you too when we have a chance, because we're looking at our other show as well, and where we can open up about time to heal and a lot of different situations that are going on in the world. I'd love to be able to just open up about those as well. So, Randy, I hope all's well over in California and your grandbabies are doing well. I hope you had an awesome Memorial Day holiday.
My wife is in Berlin, Germany right now. So
she is.
She's going on a little family visit to all the relatives in Germany, and she's with her mom. And so, I'm trying to keep the place clean,
Well, you just have to keep it clean right before she gets back, right? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, tell her I said hi. She's gonna. That's got to be a wonderful time to go to Germany because the weather's probably good too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they
what a nice trip.
They were in Newark. They flew from San Francisco to Newark and then from Newark to Berlin. But when they were in Newark yesterday, of course, with all the tornadoes watches, the planes were all grounded. So they literally sat in the airport for hours until they got on their flight. They finally got out.
No.
So they're in Berlin.
Oh no!
All right. Thank you again.
I wish them the best. I'll be in Hawaii in 2 weeks, but I'm in Maryland right now. We've had tornadoes here in the last week, So I guess the country's getting a lot of heat. You know, it gets that time of year where you get the pressure. So he's having them in Texas, and yeah. So you're in a good spot. And
It's nice here today.
Look forward to talking to you next time. Good, good. Well, to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.